keep in mind that 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy that we read a little bit ago. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 7. For that righteous man dwelling among, that's verse 8, and delivered just lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But we've been talking about the family of like precious faith, the family of God, and I want to talk to you tonight about this subject. This family can be vexed. That's what Peter, as he was writing to they were troubled Hebrew Christians, and they were going through some hard times, and he wrote about strengthening thy brethren and all that. But he said, you know, the family of God can be vexed. So Peter reminds his audience and that there lived in the city of Sodom a man whose name was Lot. Now, you'd never know that Lot was a just man, except by reading what it says here in Peter, from just observing his behavior in the book of Genesis. But here it says, just Lot. Now, there are some principles in this passage that saved people can make poor decisions. And you're going to see that here in just a little bit. And that's the main reason why we read from Deuteronomy chapter 30 when Moses said, choose you this day. You got to make a choice. He said, choose life. And unfortunately, sometimes saved people make bad decisions. Now, let me say this about Lot, because we're going to spend most of our time talking about him. Lot was living in the wrong place, and he was living among the wrong people. Today, the only thing that can make a man just, we know, is the blood of Christ. And so Lot would be considered a believer, somebody who believed in God. Verse 8 said this, for that righteous man, called him a righteous man. Didn't call him a righteous man because he was living righteously. It called him a righteous man because of his faith in God. But this righteous man, this just man, made some bad decisions. And if you'll notice also in verse 8, it said at the end of the verse, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was vexed. So I grabbed my Vine's dictionary, Greek dictionary word, Hebrew and Greek actually it is. But anyway, I looked up the word vexed, and the first one was torment. So here's Lot. Made a bad decision, and he's tormenting himself. Now, what did that? Well, you'll notice what did it when you read verses 7 and 8. It was the wicked conversation or the wicked conduct or the wicked manner of life of the people that he was living among. And as he watched these people and as he watched their ungodly lives, Peter said he was vexed. It's not only just tormented, but he was irritated. He was worn down by this irritation and he was tormented. Because he was a man who knew the way of the Lord, there was a constant battle going on inside of him. He knew the Lord, he knew the way of the Lord, but where he was living was the dead opposite of that, and that caused what's mentioned in the New Testament is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Verse 8 even added this. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. So it even added seeing and hearing. He was vexed by their conduct and manner of life and by their language. Now here was one reason why I think we need to be in church three times a week. We say three, the strife, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Because that's an awful ungodly world out there. And you hear this stuff and you see this stuff. I read a story recently, or maybe I heard him preaching it on a CD I was listening to, but Brother Sexton, not Tony, the one that comes here, but a different one. And it was where Mike went to school. What's his first name, Clarence? Anyway, he was talking about when he went to New York City, him and his wife were on a vacation, they were in New York City, and they were going into maybe this Empire or Statue of Liberty, or I don't know, one of them fancy buildings people go to visit. Anyway, he said they were walking in and had one of those round doors. Well, he was dressed like a preacher would dress, he said, and my wife was dressed kind of nice, and our conversation, some of the things we were talking about, he said, well, these two young ladies heard us talking, and they must have assumed we were Christians. He said, so they got into this round door, you know how they are, and they spin, And they got so far and they stopped it. And it got, and they made it so it stuck right there. And then he said those two girls began to act about as ungodly as they could have possibly act, knowing that we were Christians. And they did that, and they just, he said, boy, that irritated me. That bothered me. And I will tell you, that's what happened to Lot. And that's what can happen to you. The world can irritate you. It can draw you down. It can vex your soul. And it also said there in verse 8, from day to day. It was an everyday thing. It wasn't once in a great while. It was every day. He was in the wrong place. He had his family living in the wrong place. And he was vexed. And you know what he should have done? He should have got out. Better yet, he should have never got there. But once he got there and saw how bad it was, he should have got out. Now, I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to take just a little bit of a look at this guy's life. We'll start when we're introduced to him. Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to follow his life just a little bit. Let me begin in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we are, God called Abraham. By the way, where did God call Abraham to go? You know, we're not told. God just said, Abraham, move. Abraham probably said something like, exactly where am I going? Oh, you'll figure it out when you get there. But anyway, that's what happened. But notice verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. So we're introduced to Lot. Lot goes with him. But I wonder, if you look back in verse 1, it said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. I wonder if Lot should have actually gone with Abram. I mean, it said away from thy kindred. I don't know what all that it detailed. And I want you to look at chapter 13. We're not going to read all of this, but you guys ought to, you could read all this, these different chapters. Beginning in verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So Abram had a lot. Now Lot's got a lot. And land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. He said there they were brethren, but there was a strife. The strife really seems to be more between the herdmen of Abram and the herdmen of Lot. But Abraham comes up with a plan. He says in verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And then it says something, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Now here's a man living by sight and not by faith. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Now, as Abraham makes this deal, says, I'll tell you what, you choose, Lot, you make a decision. You choose this way, I'll go that way. You choose this way, I'll go that way. So, Lot's looking around, and he thinks, boy, here's a good place to make a living right over here. He didn't say, here's a real good place where I know we can live right. He said, here's a good place I can make a good living. But he made a bad choice. You know, too many people today make the same mistake. Look at all the money I can make over here. Yeah, but look where, now we know the end of the story. Look where it got him. It got him in a bad place. Verse 11 and 12 say this. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, his choice that was really bad, is he pitched his tent toward Sodom. If you follow the story, and we will, he's going to be, ultimately, he'll be moving into Sodom, and he'll be sitting in the seat of the, with the Sodomites. Notice verse 13. Here's a warning. And Lot should have known this. I believe Lot had to have known this. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So what did Lot do? He left the company of Abraham, a man who had faith in God, who followed God, who wanted to please God. Lot made a bad choice in pitching his tent toward Sodom. And the next thing you know, he's a judge in Sodom and he's sitting in the gate. His choice was earthly. What can I gain down here? Can I tell you, it is better to lay up treasures in heaven and live heavenly-minded instead of earthly-minded, but Lot was wrong. There are some things in life that we should not allow into our lives. Now, what do people do today? A lot of people. They relocate. You run into people all the time that moved to New York State for who knows why, but they came to New York State from another state or from another city around here. And people from here will relocate someplace else. But I'll tell you, you better make sure there's a good church there. Lot didn't consider that. You should never leave a Bible-preaching church. Don't leave a place where you know you're being taught and where your family is being taught. Somebody said, take less money, but not less faith. Take less money, but don't take less of the will of God. Don't move to Sodom thinking you're going to make a better living. You need to make the right choice in these things. You need to make the right choice between heaven and earth. You don't follow finances, my friend. You follow the Lord. Make sure your kids know how to make a life, not how to make just a living. He made a bad choice. Now, I want you to go to chapter 14 there. If you don't have to turn the page, it'd be fine. But notice after he made this choice, I want you to notice the circumstances he put himself in. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of, now, I'm going to butcher these names, but you forgive me. Amraphel, king of Sinar, and Ariat, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and this other king, Tidal, king of the nations, that these men made war with Bria, king of Sodom. Now, Lot's living in Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah. And Lot's right there, and he's right there with all of them. Well, I think God is trying to get Lot's attention. Now, I want you to look here at verse 8. Where is verse 8? There went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the kings of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the gate of Sidon. So here we are, these guys are going out to battle. Now, skip on down to verse 10. And the vale of Sidon was full of slim pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. There fell, and fell there, and they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So now Lot's been captured. Somebody told Abraham. Let's keep reading. There came one that had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued after them unto Dan. So now he's chasing after them, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Horbah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And skip down to verse 23. That I will not take from thee. Now, there's a conversation that has gone on between some of these kings and Abraham, and he says this in verse 23. I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lasset, and then I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. I think Abraham made a very wise decision there. And I think there is a pretty good principle there and a pretty good argument against organizations like churches and everybody taking everything that they can get out of the government. Because they're going to say, well, we made you rich. No, you didn't make us rich. Abram said, you didn't make me rich. God made me rich. Now, Lot, you would assume, was excited when Abraham and his servants came and delivered him. What's God trying to do? God's trying to get his attention. God speaks primarily three ways to you and I. He primarily speaks, first of all, to us through the Word. You read it, you're taught it, you attend a Bible-believing church, the pastor teaches, the Sunday school teachers teach, and that's the primary way right here that God speaks to us. It's through his Word. And sometimes God speaks to us through other Christians. Maybe a word of encouragement from somebody. Maybe somebody shows a verse of scripture, shares a verse of scripture with you. And so God speaks to us through other Christians. And sometimes God speaks to us through the circumstances of life. You know, after a while, when you watch God doing something's happening, you gotta connect the dots after a while. You know, God is trying to speak to me here. Well, you would have thought Lot could have connected these dots. I was in Sodom. God brought me out of Sodom. Uncle Abraham, the guy that I separated from when I made a bad decision to go there, he rescued me out of here. Now, God is dealing with Lot through these circumstances. God had given him an opportunity to get out of the place where, remember what it said? He was vexed. He was irritated. He was pushed down. He was having a hard time there. Now, if he would have acted right here, he already made one bad choice when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But if he would have acted right when Uncle Abraham came and got him out, the next scene that we're going to read about, and turn ahead to chapter 18, the next scene that we're going to read about wouldn't have been written. He'd have kept his family and his wife, they'd still have been alive. But what's the next scene? Chapter 18 and verse 16. You'll have to read all, do all the filling here for yourselves. The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. God knew what Abraham was going to do. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Well, God knew what Abraham would do. So Lot has had this opportunity. God and Abraham then have a very interesting conversation. Unfortunately, Lot had never even reached his family. And Lot, this conversation between God and Abraham was simply this, and most of you know it, so I'll kind of just refresh your minds. God, if there's 50 righteous people there, will you spare them? Sure. If there's 40, will you spare them? Yes. All the way down to 10. But Lot didn't have any, evidently, any godly influence whatsoever. God and Abraham have this conversation. Look at verse 12 of chapter 19. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? I'll come back up and pick a little bit of this story up. Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. There were others of his family in that city, but he hadn't reached them. Now, let's go back to verse 1 here in chapter 19. These are the fellows that Lot was in conversation with. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, that's exactly where he should not have been. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So he must have noticed they were something special. He said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Well, Lot's like, oh no, you don't want to abide in the street. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned it unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So now, Lot brings these angels into his house. The men of the city had heard about it. They've got Lot's house encircled. Now, Lot knew what kind of people lived in Sodom. He knew it. He would not let these angels stay out in the street. That's how he knew they were bad. Well, look what happens in verse 5. They called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. That phrase, that we may know them, is a sexual term. They wanted to have homosexual relationships with them. Now it seems to, if it can anyway, get worse. Look at verse 6. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, he said, where was I? I pray you, brethren, do no so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. Now, can you imagine this? Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. They're virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Lot was going to give his daughters to these men. Now, he's pathetic. He should have been out of Sodom. He should have never went there. Well, the angelic beings told Lot in verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot spoke to them. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But you see what the next phrase says? But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They didn't believe him. He had no influence. They didn't believe a word he said. Somebody said, there are many men who need to lead their wives but cannot lead because the wife has no confidence in his Christianity. There are many mothers and fathers who need to have influence on their children, but they do not have any influence because they have no Christian testimony with their boys or their girls. This is a serious matter. Your children know what you watch on television. They watch the expressions on your face when evil things are spoken of and when wicked things are seen on the television. By the way you talk about the Lord's house, the Lord's day, and the things of the Lord, they know whether or not you are a serious Christian. Someday, you will need to influence your children and you will not have the influence you need to have. Lot didn't have any influence, any ungodly influence on his children. Finally, Lot gets his girls and he gets his wife, and he's going to try to get them out of Sodom. He got his daughters out. He didn't get out of Sodom. Let me say it like this. He got his daughters out of Sodom. He didn't get the Sodom out of his daughters. They were still worldly. They still watched this lifestyle, and it's a sad thing. Now, look at verse 34. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, you think they didn't learn the ways of the Sodomites? Watch this. Behold, I lay yesterday with my father. She had sex with her father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our own father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. They done it the night before. Why not do it again, right? The younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not what she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their own father. Now, this is unbelievable. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, his daughters learned some wicked ways from the Sodomites. Kids learn some wicked ways today. Where do they learn them? Television, movies. Some of their best friends might be ungodly young people. That ought not to be never any good. By the way, you probably know that the Moabites and the Ammonites have always been an enemy of Israel. Lot lost his children. His wife turned back. Wanted to be in Sodom, turned to a pillar of salt. You know what Lot was? I preached a sermon on this several years ago. Maybe I'll look and see if I still got to preach it again. Lot was stirred. Boy, when Abraham came to get him, got him out from where he was taken captive, and he had a second chance to stay out of Sodom, but evidently he didn't. He ended right back up in Sodom again. And you thought he would have been stirred, but he was not. changed. He had a he made a bad choice to go there to begin with. But once he had, God gave him a second chance to get out, he should have stayed out. His children learned from the Sodomite schools. They played with the Sodomite sons and daughters. They heard the Sodomites talk. They saw how the Sodomites lived. And all of that came right into their children. You know, there's a thing that some people say, you know, don't homeschool your kids. Governor Cuomo is one of them. Don't homeschool your kids. Don't put them in a Christian school because they need to learn the world out there. You really think it did these girls good to learn the ways of the world? Doesn't look like they learned anything good to me. Look how they turned out, and look what they did to their own father. I mean, that is, okay, now there's some sick things in the world, but that's pretty sick. That's just absolutely pathetic. And I understand that we need to love the lost, but we don't need to condone the behavior of the lost. Our children can pick up bad things from us. They can pick up bad habits, bad language, temper tantrums, worriness, wastefulness, never trusting the Lord, and they can pick them up from us. But when we are vexed, often our old nature and the new nature, they're at odds, like Lot's was. When we're fighting God, we wear down, like Lot did when he was first in Sodom. And you know what, on earth, and I started with this, on earth we make critical decisions all the time that affect us and affect the others. Lot made a choice, and Lot ended up in Sodom. He had some bad circumstances. He got taken captive. He didn't even learn from those circumstances. And the next thing you know, Lot lost his family. And I've never heard of anybody becoming the father of their own grandchildren before, but that's exactly what Lot became. It's a sad story, but it's a good warning. Don't place yourself where you're going to be vexed all the time and irritated all the time and worn down all the time, day after day after day. And some of you work in those places, and I highly recommend you try to be at church as faithfully and as often and as consistent as you can. You can get a little bit of good to help offset some of the bad. That's why the fellowship of the brethren is so critically important. Anyway, let's bow for prayer. Father, we can vex ourselves. Lot was vexed, and it started because he made a very bad decision. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and it wasn't long that he was sitting in the gate. And then when you gave him a chance to get out, evidently he ended up right back in there again. Put himself right back in the place where he was vexed. And I pray that all of us will learn from this lesson not to place ourselves in these circumstances unnecessarily. But when we work in these places and we hear the awful language and see the wicked lifestyle, that you would help us to remember to be faithful to the place where we can offset some of that, the house of God. This is a tragic story and doesn't have a pretty ending. May we learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage